Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for each of these individuals here. We thank you for this community of leaders. We thank you for Watershed. God, it is a beautiful thing to behold what you are doing in the lives of these students. I know that there are some students that are in crisis. We also know, God, that you are moving in incredible ways in the lives of some of our students as well. We are seeing people come to Christ. We are seeing the Spirit moving within the community of Watershed. And for that, we have a front row seat, and we're loving it. But I also know that we have our own lives that we're wrestling with, and sometimes we feel swamped. I know sometimes I feel swamped. And so I'm thankful for this community where we can come together, where we don't have to have all the answers, but we can come and share our burdens with one another. We can talk shop. We can pray about our students and for our students, because at the end of the day, it is about you, for your glory. And even as we are aiming to pray this next school year, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. That is our heart's cry. And so bless our meeting today. Bless this food that we're about to eat and nourish it into our bodies. And always, Lord, we pray that you would enable our bodies to your service and to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. If I can get your attention, we're going to go ahead and get started so we can get out of here by 7:30, if not before. So again, want to welcome you and thank you for being here tonight. I know whenever we have these leader dinners, it makes for a long Sunday afternoon, evening. And so thank you for those of you who've left spouses and family at home. Thank you to them as well. Make sure you tell them thank you, that we really appreciate you guys being a part of Watershed. And as we are starting off a new year, there are a lot of things that we want to cover and get through. But I don't think I've had enough opportunity to say this just yet, which is thank you for just being a part of this team and this ministry. I hope you get to a point where you're sick and tired of me telling you how thankful and how appreciative I am of you guys being a part of this, because we really cannot do this without you, the volunteer. The ways that you guys step into the lives of students and families, it is so invaluable to us as a team. We have a large staff team, but I really believe that that you guys, the volunteer, make us so much better. So thank you, thank you, thank you. You really, by doing this, are filling a huge need for the church. And as you have already witnessed, if not, you will witness the role that you will be playing, that God will be using you to play in the lives of these students and their families. So again, thank you. And again, pizza, this will probably be the last time we're going to give pizza to you as like dinner, because we know that pizza can be very tiresome, especially when you're hanging around youth students. I remember there was one rush where I had pizza for lunch, dinner, and then late night snack. And that was the night that I said, that's it. I'm done with pizza at Watershed stuff. I can't do it. Anyway, and interestingly, it was pizza from three different places. It was, I don't remember where it was for lunch, but I remember it was Papa John's, and then it was Little Caesars, or maybe it was a flip-flopped. And yeah, I know. You do just one of those, and you're like, yeah, I can go without pizza for a while. I think I went into a coma after that rush for unrelated to pizza. But pizza, I'm sure, did not help. Yeah. Interestingly, later that night, I do remember, because it was so vivid in my mind, a student came up to me and said, are we seriously eating pizza again? Ugh. And I was like, wait a second, you're a student. Don't you love pizza? And they're like, not the third time in a day. And I was like, I'm done. It's like, you know what? I'm with you, brother. I'm done, too, with pizza. Anyways, thank you so much for being here. What I wanted to cover tonight is just make sure that you guys are aware of what this community is for, and also what resources you guys have available to you. So we're going to take some time to even evaluate just real quickly and debrief just the start of the year. We'll get into that in a little bit. We're going to take some time to pray through and pray for our students, rather, and pray about Watershed and just maybe your own concerns that you have as a leader. But I also want to encourage you and challenge you to be intentional and to set the bar and the standard high. And I've seen already a lot of that through so many of you just intentionally pursuing your students throughout the summer if you had them in last year. whether they were in eighth grade moving up to ninth grade or from whatever previous grade in Watershed to now. And then also for you as a new leader, kind of stepping in and stepping into a new role with new students and what that looks like and the challenges that are present with that. And we want to be able to walk through that together. And so with that, I know that many of you want notebooks, but I don't want to obligate anyone to have a notebook and then show up with it every single Sunday. Like, I want to release you of that burden. But if you want a little folder with some resources, I have several copies up here, and I have extras back in my office. But really, this folder, and maybe if I can get a couple of people to pass this out, if you want them, you can use them. There are lots here. Like I said, there are 30 right now, but we can get more. And the majority, rather, of these resources are all available online. And if you follow the student weekly Watershed email, there was a link this last week to it. So on the Watershed webpage, if you go to the Watershed webpage, there's a little side menu bar on the left. And if you click Watershed Leader page, you can click that, navigate to that. And it's password protected, and that password, put it in the body of the email. It's just Watershed with a capital W, 1819. That's our ministry year, 1819, 2018-19. So Watershed with a capital W, 1819. Okay? And if you look there, you'll see there's a PDF for the calendar, all of the resources, the building, mature, and equip follower, things to do together with your group. And what we wanted to do real quickly is just even walk through that so that you knew, hey, these are the resources that are available to me, and this is how to use them. So the first thing that I want to draw your attention to, I don't want to look at the covenant just yet. What I really want you to look for is that discipleship index. And if you've done anything with campus outreach, I know a handful of you have, this will be very familiar. And there's probably an updated version of this, but this is the one that I was given almost a decade ago. And I look at this pretty much every single week just to be reminded of, where are my guys as I'm discipling them, and where do I want them to go? So the discipleship index is a very, very helpful tool for us to look at our groups, to assess our students, and think really realistically, what is the next step for them? Where do I want them to be? Obviously, we want them to be mature. We want them to be mobilized to be disciplers themselves. That's probably not going to happen while they're a ninth grader at Chattahoochee High School. It may take a little bit more time. But we do want to be realistic about where they are. And for some of us, I know for me, it took me a solid year to really ascertain where my guys were, because I would get a lot of the right answers, you know, when I asked them questions. They would give me good answers, but it took me a while to kind of decipher, where is their heart? Are they really giving me their heart, or are they just giving me what they know is in their brain that's already been downloaded from somewhere else, right? So if you look at that that diagram, you see up on the top, you see the marks of, and you have non-Christian, new disciple, growing disciple, multiplying disciple, mobilized disciple. And at the bottom, you see this is what needs to happen in order to get to that next step. And so if I look at my students, right, and I look at the column for marks of a non-Christian, right? The trend of life is away from God. Number two, there's a lack of spiritual fruit. And three, some form of works-based relationship toward God. This was my group for a long time, and I still see evidence of this in a lot of my guys. All right, so I need to think, well, what do I need to do? And the obvious answer is, well, I need to evangelize them. I need to lead them to the cross. I need to lead them to Scripture. I need to lead them to the gospel. How do I do this? Well, expose them to Christians. I want to model what it looks like to follow Christ to these men, to these young boys. I also want to expose them to the Word of God. Cammie's in here, and one of the things that Cammie is so great about is just she pushes people, students, and leaders, get in the Word. Get in the Word. Love the Word, and bring your students there, because there's nothing greater that we can do to bring these students and have them be confronted with Christ's love. Be in the Word. Get them around the body, so introduce them to community. And for some students, that community just might look like your group, but we want to usher them into the entirety of the community that is Watershed. And then lastly, pray and dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Right? Randy even mentioned this today about what does it mean to appropriate the power of the Spirit, right? Perimeter www.pope.org/pope. Go there if you haven't heard that. But this is helpful for me to think about my guys, because sometimes I want to elevate them or I just want to put them down really low because I'm so frustrated with them. This helps me to think, what is that next step? What do I need to do? What do I need to keep on putting in front of my students? Right. So that's really what this this whole diagram is for, and really use it to think strategically about how you disciple, how you do small group. And I intentionally interchange those two words because I know for a lot of us, we're working with small groups. There are prayer care share groups. There are surface. We want to do more intentional life-on-life missional discipleship. I think we're on a pathway to that. But for most of us, if we're realistic, we're just a small group and we're aiming toward discipleship. How do we get to discipleship? We stick to a lot of what's written down right here. This is a good guideline for us. Can't remember where. It was a couple of Monday nights ago when Randy had a lot of the discipleship leaders throughout the church there. And one of the things he was just talking about was the definition that we use here at Perimeter for discipleship. And really, he emphasized three words: laboring, right? Laboring on, there's four words, laboring on a few. And discipleship is just that. It is hard work. But the encouragement that I have for you as you labor in the lives of students is that God is the one ultimately who's doing that groundwork. It is his word, it is his gospel that will take root. It is his spirit that will make it grow. We're just called to be faithful, to be present in their lives, and to model what Christ-likeness and Christ-following looks like to them. I'm going to bring Kate up here because there are a number of other resources in here. We're not going to go through every single one, but just a couple of them that will be helpful to you. Again, whether you're a new leader or a returning leader, these will be some helpful guidelines, just thinking through how do I better disciple my girls, my guys, throughout this next year.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, so if you'll open up your notebook, if you have one, with you, we gave you some of the questions that we get sometimes are just, what are some practical tips? What are some ways that we can engage with our students and continue to lead our groups? And one thing I want to talk about tonight in all of this is one of the goals as a leader is simply to not just to be meeting with your groups on Sunday nights and not just being a discipleship leader, but we're doing, as we say at Perimeter a lot, life on life. And another way to say that is we're connecting with our students. We're in relationship with them. And so sometimes that feels very simplistic. It's like going to a football game. It's going to a cross-country meet. But those are very valuable connecting points where we are building relationships with our students in order to earn their trust, in order to help them to feel known. The passage tonight is all about Jesus knowing this woman at the well by being intentional towards her. So we want our students to feel known. So some very practical ways to do that are listed on a sheet called, well, actually, I'm going to start with the information and goal sheet. So I actually handed this out to my girls tonight. And if you've never done that before, I would suggest you do that. Many of you are seasoned leaders. Some of you are new. But I would just encourage you to find out what they're involved in extracurricularly and then think through. I mean, they're in such a formative stage, as you know, and so kind of helping them think through how can we intentionally set some goals for this year, both in my personal life, spiritual life, and how can I, as a leader, help walk with them through that? So by the end of the year, you can kind of look back and see and celebrate growth in their lives. And so there's a page that says information and goals sheet. And then there's another page, if you go, I think a couple of pages later, things to do with kids. And so, I mean, these are simple ideas. I'm sure that you can think of them yourselves, but sometimes we just get busy and it's helpful to have kind of new suggestions. So that's a resource for you as well. And then we have an accountability sheet. And so It's really important as you're going through these questions and thinking about them for your groups, you need to know your groups and where they're at and what's kind of appropriate for where they're struggling and knowing kind of what questions kind of apply to your particular guys and girls. And one thing I want to encourage you in, and though I do want us to work towards, and part of discipleship is holding accountable, I do want to remind you that it's not our job primarily to change their behavior, but to transform their hearts. And that's a work of the Holy Spirit. And it's through the transformation of their hearts that the behavior will start to change. And so these accountability questions are not to call students out. It is to have an indicator of where their heart's at with the Lord. That's our primary concern. So I just want you to keep that in mind. You know, our role is to be either an additional leader, an additional friend in their lives who are walking alongside them, pointing them to Christ. We're not supposed to play police. You know, we're supposed to be their friend and be a safe person to them. So they're all coming from different family homes. They're coming from different school backgrounds. And we want this to be a community that they feel trusted in and they feel encouraged in, but also are being pushed. We want to see, we want to help them reach their potential and see them the way Christ sees them. And sometimes that is holding them accountable. Sometimes that is challenging them, you know, in particular areas of their life. Because our goal is to push them towards Christ. And so these are indicators of where their heart is at with the Lord. I'm reading this book right now, which I would recommend. It's called Connecting by Larry Crabb. Has anyone read this? Awesome. It's a great book. But it talks a lot about just the power of connection in relationships to bring healing in people's lives. And so I'm in school for mental health counseling, but this is designed to say that any lay leader, any person is able to bring healing to people's lives. You don't have to see a professional in order to do that. We can bring healing through mere connection. And I'm just going to read this quote. It says, "I have come to believe that the root of all our personal and emotional difficulties is a lack of togetherness, a failure to connect that keeps us from receiving life and prevents the life in us from spilling over unto others. I therefore believe that the surest route to overcoming problems and becoming the people we are meant to be is reconnecting with God and with our community." And so I just say that to encourage you that when it seems kind of mundane to, you know, go bowling with your students or go see a movie, that you're really doing some profound work in their lives by being their friend and being connected to them. And then finally, we do have some resources in here regarding mental health, mental illness, and particularly suicidal ideation. And we're going to have some more in-depth sessions on that later in the year, so we're not going into the in-depth into that right now. However, even this year already, I mean, we just continue to see an increase of anxiety and depression, eating disorders, suicidal tendencies. And so I just wanted to kind of just help y'all, one, just remind you what needs to be done if that comes up in your group, and two, to know kind of signs of that, and what is the level in which you need to make us aware of these situations. So first of all, kind of like I said before, your job here is, you know, not to fix these students. And unfortunately, we don't have the power to do that, but that's only through the Holy Spirit and through Christ. And sometimes certain situations come up that do need further help beyond the discipleship group. And that's okay. And we want you to bring those things to our attention. So you're on the front lines. You're the ones who are meeting with your groups on a weekly basis and hearing where they're at. And so we want you to make us aware, make Jimmy or I aware, any other staff member, if certain things come up that are alarming. And so I was just going to kind of point out a few things that are, I would say, warning signs. I wouldn't say if they happen, say, on a repeated and regular basis, start to make us aware. So things like increased isolation. If someone is not showing up on a regular basis and you don't have a reason to as to why, or if you just notice them in a group setting and there's just a change in behavior in which they're increasingly isolated from the group, if you start to hear them or notice them talk about alcohol use underage, then that should kind of start to become an alarm. What's going on here? Again, you don't have to bring that to our attention every time it happens, but have your eyes on this situation. And if it escalates, then please let us know. And then if there are just drastic changes in their friend group, drastic changes in their appearance, just basically the kind of the key word is a drastic change in their regular rhythms. And if you start to see that, then just again, press into it. Ask questions. Ask helpful, probing questions. Again, not to call them out. Always do this out of, you know, just a spirit of love, of I care about you, and building that trust with them. And then, but if some of these things start to happen, this is when we do want you to make us aware pretty immediately. If you know of any self-injury, self-harm, cutting, things like that, If they start to kind of have an increased interest in death and talk about that in group or bring up ideas of death, let us know. Or if they, of course, if they mention any suicidal ideation, talk about not wanting to be here. That comes up sometimes, then please let us know. And we want to, you know, we have connections here to shepherding care because this isn't just about the students. The whole family is involved, and we're working and ministering to parents as well as students. And so we just want to make sure they're aware of what's going on. And so we as the church, again, and as leaders, we can't fix these situations, but we are people who can intervene when there is hurt, when there is trauma going on. It is our job to, as the church, come alongside and support these children or these youth and ultimately these families. And we have resources to use to support them. So we just wanted to, bring that up because, like I said, we've already begun to see some of that stuff this year, and so I just want to make sure y'all are equipped in how to handle those situations. All right. Also, just one more thing for the women in here. We are still in need of one or two leaders, so if you know of anyone and have any friends who are interested in leading and serving, you are some of the best people to recruit because you know how this goes, and you can speak into what this experience has been like for you. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Thank you so much, Kate. And I will throw in an extra caveat to that. If you have friends that are interested but also are members here and have had taken TFL, those are all helpful things because that makes the process go a whole lot faster. But especially the membership piece. We've had to turn down a handful of people because they're not members here or they were not interested in becoming members. And so that was obviously for us, we can't go forward and have them leading a group. Okay. this is what I want to do with our remaining time. And I don't want to lose any time to kind of shuffling around. We're already kind of broken up around tables. Before we pray, I wanted to just kind of throw a couple of questions out there, and I just want to hear your feedback. You know, this year we ran into our biggest issue, which was that we started 2 weeks early, or 3 weeks early, rather, to try to get closer to the start of the school year. We felt that we lost some momentum when the kids went back to school, and then we didn't have watershed. We didn't have groups. We'd get to the first Sunday after Labor Day, and students already committed in other places, or there's like, I don't know if I want to get involved anymore at Watershed. So just want to hear from you. What has worked or what didn't work? What criticism or feedback would you have to make next year better in terms of launching well, especially if we wanted to launch again as early as we did the second or third week in August as opposed to the second week in September. Love to hear your thoughts. Yeah, absolutely. And I know that with you, you were around, you came to some of the freshman-oriented events here for Watershed. I know Travis was here, too, for a handful of those things. And I think Travis was, because I'd see him out in the atrium with his guys throughout the summer. So that was awesome to see, just whatever we can do to increase that level of continuity. But that's helpful. That's good to know. Any other thoughts? Again, it doesn't have to be for, you know, moving earlier. I mean, what did we not do right? That's what I want to hear. It's how can we make it smoother for next year? Yeah, Matt. We did have two leader orientations, but I did not promote those well at all. I didn't communicate those very well. Yeah. We had one on the 5th and then one on the 12th of August. And one was at the Styles House and then one was here. But it wasn't communicated well just because, again, we had Rush and then South Africa, deadline, group sorting. And I was like, oh, I should probably tell our leaders that we have a meeting. And by that time, it was August, like, 1st. Yeah, Carter. Yeah, this was, yeah. it was a change. I think out of 375-ish registrations, I think we had two saying, wait a second, we're starting at 4:30 this year? Can you explain why we're doing that? I think it did go over a lot of people. It was a missed detail, and we could have communicated that more clearly and more often, especially the 4:30 start time as well as the August 19th start time. Yeah, that's helpful. Heather? Absolutely. Okay, great. Thank you. And I know that was probably the primary reason why we wanted to bump it up earlier, was to help establish groups before Labor Day. And then get into September. That's great. Any other feedback out there? For those of you who didn't go on the Aloha Beach retreat, this was our largest retreat ever outside of Rush. I think we had 150 some odd students. Do you remember the number, Emilio? 175. Wow. And then we had about 20 or so leaders there. So we had a lot of students down at the beach. And it was an amazing experience, great opportunity for a lot of deep, deep conversations. And then also, hopefully, those of you who had students that went on the retreat came back with positive things to say, and then also the experience that they had, whether it was in small group, worship, and prayer time, and even community building. I know that it was very prevalent throughout the retreat, just this idea of the Watershed community, very, very strong. And I know especially with the senior group, that was very, very evident. So I'm looking forward to this year just seeing our seniors really take a role of leadership within Watershed. I'm so excited about that. Yeah, Tirza. Any other thoughts? Our next meeting is not until October the 21st. But in the meantime, you will start seeing more resources thrown your way. And primarily, we're going to try to communicate some more via video. So whether it's embedded in that weekly email, also embedded on the Watershed Leader page, will be videos about, hey, this is what we're going to be talking about for week two in Meeting Jesus. Or Kate and I were talking about this earlier the week, just about navigating the app and using the Watershed app. How can you best use this? I don't think we've done a tutorial on that since when we first launched the app last year. It'd be helpful to kind of go back through that because going through it, and I've pushed my guys to be more interactive with it. I make them actually keep their phones out, and we'll walk through it together just to build up some routine. And part of that goal, too, is giving them opportunity to see how I lead the group because I'm going to challenge them to be leading group. This year they're juniors and give each of them an opportunity to lead the group as well. And so what better way than, hey, here's the guideline. It's already here. Let's just click on this and then go ask that question. It's easy as that. I just got to keep on modeling and being consistent with my guys. But different resources like that, mainly video, and I'm talking like minute and a half or less videos. We don't want to make you watch a 15-minute tutorial. That's the last thing we want to do. All right, any questions just in regards to schedule or anything else in relation to Watershed, not necessarily related to the kickoff or launch? Give you opportunity. Yeah, Matt. How are leaders supposed to check in? I saw Tegan in here earlier. I think the answer is no. Yeah. I had this question come up, and we will debrief this with our staff. I had some students ask me, what if I don't have a cell phone? How do I check in? I think we may have an iPad out every Sunday so that cell phone-less students can come and check in. So that way they're at least also able to participate in whatever raffles and drawings we have. Yeah, good question. Yes, Jesse. We just changed it. Rip is not in here.
Yeah, it'll be the 8th through the 10th.
Of February? Okay. 8th through the 10th. Isn't that Super Bowl Sunday? Don't worry about it. Okay. If the Redskins are there, I'm just telling you, I'm not coming to this retreat. Which means I'll be at the retreat. So that's February 8th, 9th, and 10th. That's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yep. Oh, I'm just going to go ahead and put this out there as well. We know that Gwinnett and weekend before. Thank you, Travis. Okay, so we won't miss it. We'll be relishing in the win that is the Redskins Super Bowl. Not going to happen. Not for a while, at least. We are going to have Watershed the weekend of October the 7th, I believe it is. That's Indigenous Peoples, what used to be known as Columbus Day. Gwinnett has like a 5-day fall break. I think Forsyth gets a week-long break. I think Fulton's got 4 days as well. We still have Watershed that Sunday. And as we get closer to it, if we are hearing from students and leaders, we're not going to be there, then we may cancel it. So just keep an eye out for that email and text message and notification saying that we're not going to have Watershed. But right now, it is planned and it is scheduled. David, did you have no, it was Jenna.
For the spring retreat, what time do you know about what time I'm ready? Like, should we ask about
work that day? Yeah, typically we leave around 4 o'clock. We ask students to come at 3:30, I think. So students rarely have to take the day off of school, or some of them may get checked out early. I know people who've worked in the past have taken an early Friday so that they can get here on time. But we've also had leaders end work and then meet us up there. And since we're going to Camp Grace, which is south about 2 hours, that's the issue, is going south because you just run into traffic. But yeah, we usually aim around 4 o'clock and then grab dinner on the way down. Yes, Matt?
Do all leaders have a staff member they're prepared
for the weekend? Yeah, so every volunteer in here will have either a staff person or a coach kind of assigned to you, and that will be your primary connection to the staff. So if you are, I'll use Travis as an example because I know he's not in my coaching group. But I know Travis and I have a friendship and a relationship. He can still definitely text me and ask me questions. But to encourage more staff connection, not just back to me or to one person, you will have a staff person that will kind of check in on you, see how you're doing, how's your group doing, what students do we need to be praying for, what can we do to help support you as you lead this group, pray with you, give you announcements, things like that. And that will happen mainly through email, but also we want to take you guys out for lunch, dinner, coffee once a semester, just to let you know, again, how appreciative we are of you and all the hard work that you guys are putting into to Watershed. Good, great question. And you'll find that out over the next couple of weeks as staff find that out as well. Yeah. Yes, John. Yeah. I had run into some issues with getting it uploaded earlier. We had couple of crises come up over from the weekend before, and so that delayed things, and so I apologize about that. All of the John series or meetings, Jesus series is up now. The Daniel series, which we'll be doing biblical worldview later in the fall, that will be up this week as well. And so just keep an eye out for that on the app. And if anything ever goes wrong with your app, just close it out and restart it, because it's pulling information from the cloud every time you open it up brand new. So if you've just left it open, it may not show. So you may have different icons. You may have a different order somewhere. If it looks funky, try it again, refresh it. it'll probably be fixed. Or it means that I'm currently editing it, and so you are just watching it happen right in front of your eyes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the goal is to get everything out, weekend specific, out by Wednesday, Thursday. But this week, yeah, that came back to me and it fell off my radar. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I'm going to get everything. I mean, like I said, all the John stuff is up now. The Daniel stuff will be up. And then if there's anything more weekly, it'll be up more earlier in the week, because now I'm finally getting caught up and feeling I can get ahead now. So we're actually filming a couple of things tomorrow for the end of the John series and the beginning of the Daniel series. So those things will be ready before we're into it. Yeah. Any other questions, thoughts, comments? Jeff, do you have something?
Well, I did want to say something about the 610.
Yeah.
I can say something real quick about that.
Yeah.
All right. Also, I stole some pizza from the Jay High's meeting. So if you didn't get enough pizza, there is some pizza back there. The 610, because our next meeting will already be into it, so I just want to, hopefully you guys heard me talk about it 2 weeks ago, to cast vision for that. So just if you, as we get closer, we will make sure that we're informing you, like sending you the links to sign up and get your students sign up. If you can just start talking about it as more stuff, probably the last couple of weeks of this month is when you'll start to get more stuff, like the prayer guides and how to sign up. And a lot of that we haven't, you know, trying to get past the Aloha for us was big. And so now I think we'll definitely get all that done by the end of this month. But be on the lookout for that and just kind of encourage your students, you know, ask them, hey, have you signed up? Are you excited? The prayer walks that we'll have, you know, there's just totally voluntary if you want to go and do that. Again, hopefully more information will be out there as we go to put it on students' radar. We're going to hit social media blitzes for that as well, putting stuff on in those areas so that we can get it on students' radar about the prayer walks and things like that. So is there any questions about the 610, the prayer thing that we're focused on Northview that I did 2 weeks ago? Case, some of you are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Don't know yet. That will be in the spring, though, because we feel like if we can do this the month of October, do it well, assimilate them in November, hopefully. And then December, you know, is kind of, we only meet like 1 or 2 weeks. So we'll target another school in the spring, though. Yeah. Do you have one to suggest? Do you have a school in mind? Okay. Yeah, we definitely don't have very many there. I mean, again, that would be a huge one. Yeah, good question. Anything else about that? Okay.
Thank you, Jeff. And that talk will, if it's not already up online, we'll make sure that it's more prominent on the leader page so that way you get, a refresher course on what the 610 is and what Jeff means by that if you weren't here 2 weeks ago. All right. We're up on time. This is what I would love for us to do. I just want to do some guided prayer time just real quick. And if you need to step out, you can quietly do that. We just want to take the next couple of minutes to just pray and lift up Watershed. The other day when I was kind of walking through Jeff's talk in my own mind and kind of thinking about some passages on prayer, got stuck on 2 Chronicles 7 and might be a passage that many of us are familiar with. It's when Solomon's dedicating the temple. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 is probably the most well-known verse from that passage about if my people will humble themselves and pray. And I sat there looking at that, and I remember, like, God, when I was in high school, that verse meant so much to me. And I was challenged to really pray for my church, for my friends, for my campus. And over time, you forget about it and you don't pray. You don't have that fervency anymore. And what I know our staff has been witnessing at Watershed, it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so just all these memories of high school for me just started flooding back. College ministry flooded back. And just seeing what God is doing here at Watershed is such a beautiful thing, and we got to do a better job of just communicating that to you as the leaders. But it's that solemn moment in the temple of God, in the presence of God's people, to stop and bask in God's glory and then say, God, use me. I don't have thousands of animals to sacrifice before you. I don't have a beautiful, lavish temple for you to indwell. I've got this. This isn't a lot. But God, you are you, and I want you to use me. I look at Watershed and I say, God, use this. We lay it out with two hands. God, would you use this? So that's what I want us to do now. So if we can just bow our heads and just take a quick moment silently in your hearts, pray for each of your guys or for your girls. Look at their faces, picture their faces, and say, God, would you work in this student's life? As I labor in their life, God, would you glorify yourself and bring them to you? And just take 30 seconds or to a minute, and just by name, would you pray for them silently in your hearts? And then I'll close this in prayer. God, we are eager and hungry to see you move. Some of us, we need that just for our own sake and for our own faith. We want to see fruit, but not for our own self-satisfaction. We want to see you glorified and lifted high. God, I can picture what it must have been like for the Israelites to see the spectacle happening at the dedication of the temple. And I liken that now to us as people who work with high schoolers, and we are seeing you move in the lives of a few. God, we want to see that multiplied. We want to see that passion and that enthusiasm grow. But we don't want it to be rooted in enthusiasm alone. We don't want to see that rooted or established in youthfulness. We want to see that rooted and established in the gospel and your grace and your name and the cross and your word. God, we believe your word when it says that your word goes out and it will not return to you null. It won't return to you void. We believe, God, that you will do a great work. And we ask, Lord, for the great privilege to not only see that happen on the front lines, but that, God, you would use us to shape students. And we may not see that fruit for a long time. I think about Jessica's story today. Gosh, and how awesome it was to see that and to hear that, because that was a girl that we prayed for nonstop. And so, God, we pray for our students. We long, God, for your spirit to come. And would you move in this ministry, work in the lives of each of these leaders. Thank you so much for them. Thank you for this ministry. We thank you for the church, but most of all, Jesus, we thank you for you and for the gospel. We pray this in your matchless name. Amen. Amen. Thank you again so much for being here. If you can just grab your trash and just take it and put it in the trash can, that'd be awesome. And if you need anything, again, don't hesitate to talk to Kate, myself, grab any of our staff members. We'd love to sit down and talk with you and help you in any way. We'll also get this title up on the website in case you are interested in that book. Connecting by Larry Crabb.